is knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 622. Jason Lingren is with me and Dr. Diana returns. This book we're going to cover here is a big deal. It could have served the world in ways that I can't even imagine if a copy of this book would have been in every doctor's office, in every home. It's called The Invisible Rainbow. People have been talking about it for years, but if you take the time to go through this book, it will leave you very little doubt that everything you know about the so-called flu or COVIDius minimus has purposefully been misdescribed. It was a year, roughly, before COVIDius minimus that we had Dr. Lena on. Dr. Lena informed us that the flu is a bit like electromagnetic vampirism. In other words, he said the flu is caused by electromagnetic concerns. At the time, with the evidence we laid down, we began to realize that this had been misdescribed. And as this broke out in the big cities, there was a huge, I'll just say, kerfuffle. Everyone was saying that was in the know that COVID was fake. And yet in the big cities, we had people going into hospitals, getting put on respirators, losing their sense of smell. Looking back with vision that's a bit closer to 2020, I imagine that the broadcast towers in the cities were doing something to give the news fodder to report on. As we move forward through this book, we'll cover what we can, but if you take the time to go through it, the lines that are drawn are one-to-one. It is literally undeniable not to associate frequency and electromagnetic radiation with what we call the flu. And if you read this book, you will learn that before the onset of radio, the flu was, I don't know if it was absent, but it was certainly nowhere near what we see today. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a stormy good morning.
Why don't you go ahead and lay down the info that Rose has provided to us, and then we'll bring Dr. Diana in.
So let's remind everyone that back in 2020, when we were at the forefront of the whole forgery and calling out of the nonsense of COVIDius minimus, we had people from all over, including Rose and I did this too, one, filming empty hospitals, and two, our friend Dr. Andy Kaufman went on with David Icke to discuss the possible connection between EMF, 5G, and symptoms of illness. Almost immediately after that, YouTube went down for 40 minutes. When it came back online, YouTube made an announcement that it would be censoring the filming of empty hospitals and any mention of the connections between COVID and 5G.
I mean, Jason, you know, you grew up on the music I did. Does this not bring to mind The Who's Imminent Front? I mean, this song.
It's a put on.
It's a put on. And even though you'll look up and they'll tell you that the song is referencing something totally different over and over and over in that song, each line is ended with a very important idea. People forget. How many people remember that YouTube went down for 40 minutes and scrubbed right before COVIDius? Anyhow, let's get this on the road. We've got so much to get through. Welcome back, Dr. Diana.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me for a third time. Very excited.
Why don't you go ahead and tell folks where they can find you and what you're up to?
For anyone that would like to work with me as a naturopath, you can book a complimentary 15-minute phone consultation by visiting my website, dmdnaturalmedicine.com. And we offer a 15% off discount by using the code CROW, CROW, at drdalewellness.com, where we have all of our homeopathic and herbal remedies.
All right, we better write that down because people forget. Anyhow, how do you want to do this, doctor?
I'm just going to kind of roll through it. So basically, everyone, we are just kind of going through the main bullet points of the book. And I want to talk about the relationship to the technologies as they roll out and then the symptoms that developed in our population. And then every time there is a pandemic, I'm going to stop and bring that in and talk about the relationship there. Then at the end, I'm going to cover foods, different things you can do in the home and supplementation to kind of help us deal with this stuff. Because as we all know, this is not going away. you know, they're going to be rolling out 6G, 7G, 8G, and on that will roll until God knows when.
Until the system crumbles.
Yes, hopefully.
I'll give this to you up front. In my home, everything is hardwired. I have one point that is wireless, and I have an open switch where I can easily get to and reach in one single room where I keep it disconnected, or if I have to, I can connect it. If things start to go sideways, the first thing that happens here is all electromagnetic radiation is shut down. Secondarily, people might want to take the time to look up the idea of what a Faraday cage is. You can easily take a bathroom or some room that's not very big in your home, and you can Faraday cage it. There's a number of ways to do it. Some are more obtrusive than others. People use tinfoil and other things. The basic idea is you're creating a space that you could go into where electromagnetic signals can't get in. Jason, do you want to add anything before we go here?
Man, what a shame that they don't keep lead in paint anymore, huh? It's a good thing they took it out for our safety and health.
It makes you wonder, too. And, you know, consider all the old red brick buildings. I believe red brick, a lot of it has iron in it, and they used to rebar through it. So those buildings would have been somewhat Faradayed to some degree. But anyhow, Dr. Diana, it's all you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, guys. So as Crow mentioned earlier, and I think this is an interesting point because I don't know if we had larger pandemics that maybe we just aren't aware of or they weren't charted. I would like to think that we would know about things like that. But pretty much before the late 1800s, we weren't really exposed to anything natural, you know, electromagnetic. So no EMFs. It was just the Earth's natural geomagnetic field and what they call cosmic radiation. So we didn't have any artificial sources of EMFs. So based on just that fact, I would think that there probably wasn't ever any large pandemic. Okay. When we come into 1879, this was when they introduced electric streetlights. So streetlights in urban areas marked the beginning of artificial electrical exposure. People began experiencing symptoms from the exposure. This included fatigue, headaches, disrupted sleep patterns, and tiredness. And then obviously the electric lighting really altered our natural circadian rhythms. So this was really the issue with sleep particularly. And then as we move into 1882, we have our first power plants. So power plants began operating and they supplied electricity to cities. Electric power started to spread to homes and businesses, increasing exposure to electrical fields. Residents and workers near power plants especially experienced eye strain, fatigue, nervous irritability, and sleep disturbances. Moving into 1844, when we have the telegraph and the start of long-distance communication. So Samuel Morse successfully demonstrated the telegraph, allowing long-distance electrical communication for the first time. The widespread installation of telegraph lines and stations introduced electrical fields to large regions, affecting human health in a lot of new ways. People near telegraph lines and stations, particularly those who worked with the telegraph systems, experienced symptoms including fatigue, irritability, headaches, and disrupted sleep. They actually started calling this telegraph disease or telegraph shock, and this really had a range of nervous system complaints. Moving on to 1895, this was the discovery of the X-ray. I might butcher this. Wilhelm Röntgen discovered X-rays in 1895, which was a breakthrough in medical imaging and radiation science. X-rays began to be used for diagnostic purposes in the early 1900s, and they were really just starting to be used in hospitals, but the effects of radiation exposure on human health weren't really fully understood at the time. Overexposure to X-rays would only become a concern as their use grew in the medical field over time in the future.
Let me jump in here with regard to X-rays. You know, there was actually a point in this country when X-ray machines were new. They were put like almost like a street vending machine kind of thing. They were very nonchalant with how X-rays were rolled out. And then very quickly, it became less available to everybody. But the reason I'm even bringing this up, you might want to do some modern day looking into about X-rays. And if you're in a situation where you go into a hospital and you have to get them, it's good information, because a lot of times in hospitals today, they're padding bills and they're just going through processes. And it is up to you whether you're going to submit to an X-ray, whether you feel it's necessary because there's a serious bone break or something like that, or whether you would prefer not to be irradiated. anyhow, go ahead, doctor.
Yeah. And you know what, Crow, this is a good point to bring up that I hadn't even thought of, but anyone, if you are in a circumstance where you know you have to get an x-ray, like let's say you're going to a new dentist and you know, okay, they're going to take an x-ray, you can take iodine that day. You can also take an EMF tincture before and after the x-ray. So the days leading up to it and after the x-ray, which I'll go over at the in the end. But there are circumstances where we know we're going to have it done. So it's really important that you prepare your body for that. And then like Crow is saying, I truly opt out of all x-rays. Like the dentist, I do once when I go to a new dentist, because when I moved, I found a new holistic dentist and that's it. I'm not going to allow them to x-ray me anymore. Or like I'll let the chiropractor do it every 2 years. But other than that, this whole narrative like, oh, we have to take it every 6 months. No, you're not taking it on me unless I feel there's an issue. So you just have to be strong with saying no to those things unless, like Crow said, it is an emergency.
And the other thing I would mention is when you go into the dentist these days, they want to do like that one that wraps around your head. And they will. They'll do that every so many months. But I want to mention, one of the things I take every single day is Dr. Lugol's iodine. People might want to look into it. Typically, the way it's done is you start with just a few drops and you can build up. I've been doing it forever. I don't even really measure it anymore because I know where I am on the eyedropper. But iodine is one of the things that has certainly changed a lot for me. And by the way, if you're a person that gets like sebaceous cysts or something like that, the iodine taken internally really seems to help.
Yes, that's a great tip. Thank you so much. The x-ray you're referring to is called a cone beam CAT scan. And I think that type of x-ray is really only necessary if you're checking for a cavitation or you suspect you have an infected root canal. Or if you are taking that one, tell them they can have that, but not the regular x-rays. If they try to do both the cone beam and regular x-rays, that's a little excessive. So just kind of try and go one direction or the other. You would only need the cone beam, in my opinion, if you have to look at what's really going on below the root, you suspect an infection, you have a root canal, something like that. Okay, moving into 1904, we get electric streetcars. These were electric powered streetcars and they were introduced mostly in cities. People living near streetcar routes using the streetcars as well began experiencing new health issues. Very similar reports included nervous tension, overstimulation, dizziness, irritability, and disrupted sleep patterns. Moving into the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was the discovery and use of elemental radium. Crow, I know you've gone at this a ton, so I'm just going to kind of cite the historic point that radium was discovered in the late 1800s, and it became widely used for various purposes, including medical treatments like radium therapy and in products like radium-laced paint.
Let me go at this. Marie Curie was invented, as was her husband. Whether or not they were real people is immaterial. The story that surrounds them was required for the beginning of the narrative that nuclear weapons are going to exist in the world and some magical red button exists where this creation can be destroyed ridiculously by a magical button push. This is a bit like the old argument. When I talk about this, I get why it's here. It's a bit like the old movie thriller where there's two guys talking. And one guy says, you better knock it off. You're not going to hurt me. I've got a gun under the table. And the other guy says, so do I. And so they don't shoot each other because they're both under the impression that there's a weapon aiming at both of them. This is the narrative that we have seen with nukes. Marie Curie, even her name is a giveaway. Jason, what's the name of the guy? Hoaxbusters. I don't know if his material is still around, but he did the best breakdown of the invention of Marie Curie, Marie Curie, Marie Curie, Mercury, 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 to include the breakdown of the Mercury symbol, which illustrates the story that was told about Marie Curie's husband, Pierre Curie's death. His head was crushed by a wagon wheel. It's all in the Mercury symbol. Getting up to the point, it currently appears to me like these elements that are now against the law to possess are held under lock and key, were critically important to older civilizations, might have been used for heating or any number of things. You can even go online and find boxes from, I guess, the 1800s, where they're selling radium and other things. Lastly, there was a man named, what's Windsor's name, Jason?
Galen Windsor.
Galen Windsor. I've had some cautious ideas about the man, but at the end of the day, he went around ingesting things like plutonium and radium. I don't know if I've got the elements right, but he's ingesting them, having worked in the nuclear field for years, trying to inform people that this is a put-up. At the end of the day, I think they took critically important elemental things and made them dangerous and illegal, which is not the case. And I'm sorry for interrupting like that, doctor.
Oh, no, I had a pause because I wanted you to go into that. So thank you so much. Moving into 1914 to 1918, this is World War I, and this is really important because this is when radio communication swept the earth for the first time. So this was also known as wireless telegraphy, and it was still in its early stages during World War I when radio technology became more developed for military use. So basically, we're coming into World War I, and for the first time, this new frequency is being cast on the earth for purposes of military communication. Then enter 1918-1919, the first major pandemic that we have on record anyway, and that's the Spanish flu. So even though it's coined as Spanish, this was worldwide. Symptoms of this flu were fatigue, respiratory symptoms, fever, chill, lack of appetite. And the death count was claimed to be 50 million, which I find just interesting in being that it was, I don't know how everybody gathered this information and tracked it properly, but that's what we have. Do you have anything to say about that, the 50 million?
Yeah, you'll see this over and over. You can go back and find pandemics like maybe the Black Plague before this. What you're looking at, whatever happened there, these are now branded talking points, just like the word Spanish flu. That's a branded idea so that when it gets talked about, your mind is turned away from the possibility that what we're saying here was the actual cause. But to get back to the 15 million, how many times have you heard about a worldwide pandemic of some sort that removed a third of the population? This happens over and over. And this is part of the alchemical narrative of just kind of prepping world minds. I think it's critical. And by the way, you're right. How the hell did they have anything in place to track these kinds of numbers when during Covidius Minimus, we had a reporting system in place that was associated with inoculations that was completely removed? So we've had a modern so-called pandemic. We can't even get accurate numbers. And this is why I have covered things like the elite taking over the undertaking business. That's how they're getting one of the ways they're getting their numbers to know how successful things were.
Right, exactly.
They were tracking populations at that point because they used them for congressional districting.
Okay. And, you know, we all know what happened with this recent pandemic where the numbers were manipulated and hospitals were paid to say it was deaths of a certain reason. I don't know if we had that type of manipulation going on back then, but it's just interesting because maybe in 250 years, when they come back and look at this recent pandemic, they're going to see these huge numbers when really that's not the reality. It was all manipulated.
Right. The narrative always changes over time too. And you know, the who's on spot, people forget.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I don't think we mentioned the author's name of the book is Arthur Furstenberg. So his argument is that the rise of electricity could have weakened our immune systems, making individuals more susceptible to the flu. The increased exposure to electric fields may have impaired the immune system during the pandemic. That's kind of what he thinks about it. My argument is more based on the premise that radiation builds up over time in the body after continued periods of exposure. So could all of this EMF exposure lead to increased oxidative stress? Yes. Is it possible that the release of worldwide radio communication for World War I made people sick on a massive scale? I think it's absolutely possible.
Let me jump in. I want to say something. You spurred my memory. If I was to ask everybody, when did quality begin to fall in the world? You can recognize that near the end of the 1800s, like if you go back and look at stuff, even structures, furniture, anything, all this artistic quality put into it, it mirrors what we're talking about here. So it makes you wonder how much the onset of electromagnetic frequencies blasted everywhere has handicapped human beings. It reminds me of the band Devo. The name of their band was De-Evolution, and they were talking about exactly what we're talking about. And they're claiming at one point, I saw an interview, they said we're operating at about 50% at best. Lastly, in San Diego, there's a shopping center called College Grove, It's right there on Highway 94 on Massachusetts Avenue. If you go slightly west of that shopping center, there's an abutment at the intersection that talks about the first worldwide radio network. People can go see that now. Matches the numbers we're handing out. Go ahead, doctor.
Sure. And I know you guys have covered this as well in another episode, but in the book, What Really Makes You Ill by Don Lester and David Parker, they suggest that the Spanish flu may have been a result of intoxication from chemical exposures, particularly related to the widespread use of vaccines and the use of chemicals in warfare during World War I. So it could have been a few things kind of coming to convergence at the same time. But the authors argue that many of the symptoms of the Spanish flu, like the respiratory distress and the rapid progression of illness, could have been caused by exposure to chemicals like mustard gas or the toxic effects of vaccine inoculations given to the soldiers. They point out that the vaccines were being developed and administered on a large scale during this period. So that's a huge piece too. If we have all these soldiers getting shot and then, shot up and then going all over the world, this could make sense as to why a lot of those people were sick. So we don't know out of all these people that died, like how many of them were soldiers, how many of them were in different areas. I mean, I'm sure I could do a whole thing looking into that more, but I just think it's interesting. So we've got all these gases, toxins, we've got the radio frequency and the vaccines coming out for the first time. And back then, they did have mercury in them. So that's fun to bounce off of the radio frequencies.
This is still going on in the military, which is why I try to educate people. If you go into the military, or at least my experience, they're going to turn you into a pincushion. I think I had between 15 and 20 shots given to me in the Marine Corps. And every time you go somewhere, like you're going to go on an operation or go to a different country, they roll out usually minimally 3 shots you're going to need. So people should educate their young. If you're thinking about going in, you're going to get many inoculations.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And none of them are needed. But in that same book, What Really Makes You Ill, which they really go at germ theory, they emphasize the idea of a virus being the primary cause of the Spanish flu is not supported by the evidence and the other factors like the toxic substances. They just do a really good job at kind of showing you, look at all these other things that we are exposed to at this time. So this alternative view is part of the broader skepticism of the germ theory of disease presented in the book, with the authors advocating for a more holistic understanding of health and illness, focusing on environmental factors, toxins, and the body's immune system, rather than the idea of specific pathogens like a virus, quote unquote, or bacteria being the sole cause of a disease. So after we are really using radio for military communication, we move into the 1920s, and this is really the rise of radio and actual broadcasting. So exposure to radio frequency radiation increase, especially near radio towers, and just getting it in our homes. People reported headaches, dizziness, fatigue, and irritability associated with radio technology. Also, stress and anxiety levels were heightened among some people near the radio towers. Then we have the 1930s to the 1940s. Now we have television and radar coming in. So television became available in homes and radar technology grew, especially during World War II. Electromagnetic exposure from both technologies led to concerns about their effects on health. Early television viewers reported eye strain, nausea, dizziness, and discomfort after long periods of watching. Military personnel exposed to radar radiation experienced fatigue and neurological symptoms. Then we move into the expansion of electrical infrastructure and consumer electronics. So this is 1940s to 1950s, the post-war expansion, this is called. Electricity expanded into homes and industries following World War II. The availability of household electrical appliances, machinery, and lighting increased electromagnetic exposure significantly. People in urban areas began to report fatigue, tinnitus, insomnia, nervous tension, and other symptoms of exposure to electrical fields. Workers who spent long hours near electrical machinery reported increasing rates of nervous system disorders. Okay, here we go. Another pandemic comes in. This is 1957 to 1958, the Asian flu. This was a world pandemic, although it's saying only 1 to 2 million deaths were reported. Similar health symptoms of other flus, fatigue, dizziness, respiratory problems, etc. And we're coming into the 1980s, and this is a big part of the change with EMFs, the introduction of mobile phones and microwave radiation. So mobile phones became available. They weren't really widely used by everyone, but concerns over radiation from mobile phones and microwaves did grow. This period marked the first widespread usage of devices emitting electromagnetic radiation. People began reporting headaches, sleep disturbances, memory loss, and depression. Concerns over long-term radiation exposure and its possible connection to brain tumors also increased. Then in the 1990s, we really moved into the more widespread use of these wireless technologies. Do you guys remember how old you were when you got your first cell phone? I think I was a sophomore in high school, so like 2000 for me.
What year was it, Jason, for you?
Around 98, I think.
Yeah, it was 99. It was at the very beginning of 99. And that was the first time that my social security number was demanded. I turned it down. They wouldn't give me the phone. My wife ended up doing it. She didn't care. But it goes to show you how many things were changing so quickly at the same time. Before that period of time, we were instructed never give out your social to anyone.
Yeah, I remember that as well. I actually used to sell cell phones. That was one of my first jobs when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
And they weren't very smart yet, and they were expensive. So times have changed. I guess they are a little more expensive now, actually. But when we come into the 90s, we're now in a situation where kind of everyone is starting to get phones. We also have the Wi-Fi is more common and just other wireless technologies that are really increasing our exposure around the earth. Wireless technology became available to everyone and people experienced what we are calling electromagnetic hypersensitivity or EHS. These are pretty severe fatigue, headaches, sleep disturbances, and cognitive issues. And these are all linked to EMS exposure.
We should mention, so I get my first cell phone in 99. In 2001, 9/11 happens. I lose my job. I'm heading back to San Diego. And that was the first time we traveled with a cell phone. The majority of the time going across country, I think we went most of the way on I-40 that time. We may have done the northern route up to around Michigan. I don't remember, but actually I do remember. We came down through Tulsa from the north and went across on 40. The majority of the time, we could not get a signal. And so look how quickly they put this infrastructure in, because it was scant few years later where you would go on a similar trip and the majority of the time you would have a signal and roaming charges to match.
Right. I remember that. Getting in big trouble with a huge cell phone bill from your parents if you text too many things.
Rose just wrote that. She said it was 10 cents to text and 2 cents to receive.
Yeah, crazy, crazy times. Okay, let's see. So here we have another pandemic, swine flu, H1N1. This is 2009. This was also worldwide. Interestingly enough, as these pandemics continue to roll out, I feel like the death tolls that are reported are getting way smaller. So this one is saying only 151,000 to 575,400 deaths. So it's somewhere in that range from almost 200,000 to 600,000. They're not quite sure. But this is another global pandemic as our wireless technology spread throughout the earth. And then as we come into 2000s, our Wi-Fi networks and mobile phone networks are really being built out. Pretty much everyone has a cell phone in the civilized world. Everyone has Wi-Fi. We're starting to now kind of get the smartphones, the Bluetooth devices. All of this stuff really creates a constant source of electromagnetic radiation on the body. And a lot of people, when they think EMFs, they think just their cell phone. But look at all the things we just talked about. Think of the light bulbs that are on in your house and all the wires that are running through your home. All of these things count as electromagnetic exposure. All of these things are unhealthy for us. Concerns about EMF exposure increased as wireless networks expanded. Long-term effects of radiation exposure actually became a large topic of discussion because all of this was rolling out so quickly. And we did have a rise in the electromagnetic hypersensitivity cases. So these are individuals that reported the headaches, fatigue, sleep disruptions. So there were some people that reported these things and other people were really having a hard time with it, like it was affecting their health in a pretty negative way and affecting their daily life. I also want to stop and talk about the bees in EMFs. There is a connection between EMFs and the decline of bee populations, specifically in relation to something that they call colony collapse disorder or CCD. And this started gaining attention in the early 2000s. This period coincided with the rapid rise of mobile phone use, wireless technologies, and the proliferation of electromagnetic radiation in the environment. So the first reports of CCD were the entire bee colonies would just disappear without a trace. This was first observed in 2004. And at the same time, concerns about the potential link between wireless radiation and the decline in the bee population started to be raised by various scientists and environmentalists. And I think Crow, you might recall, they talk in the book as well about it affecting bees in the very beginning when they were kind of messing around with electricity.
So if I remember correctly, one of the first radio stations they put together that it's killing the bees. And when I was collecting the footage in Lemon Grove in San Diego that you see in Shoot the Moon, I mentioned that there were certain times when the chemtrailing was so bad, I would go days, if not weeks, not being able to film. And this was before I realized the vinegar, but I have firsthand experience about the bees, and it's terrible. We would go out, they would start chemtrailing, and then it would look like beach sand. You could see the frequency patterns and the milky cover from all the spraying. When we began to see this, the next day we would go out, and all over the patio where I would set up my telescope were bee bodies or bees buzzing in circles until they died on the ground. This went on for months and months and months. It was so bad that when we began to clean them up because we didn't want to get stung, stepping on dead bees, there were times when I filled up like a little dust tray completely with bee bodies.
Oh my gosh, that really is terrible.
It's awful. The other thing I want to mention, and I don't know if we've illustrated the picture, when you read this book, it is literally one-to-one, which each electromagnetic technological step forward, each time that step is taken, there's an associated pandemic. It is a one-to-one map of what has happened in this book, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So if this interests everyone, we really suggest reading the book. There's so much great information. What is it, about a 350-page, 400-page?
Let me see. I got it right here. It is, there's a huge index in the back. Yeah, you're looking at just under 400 pages.
Mm-hmm. So you can see how much great information you can get from reading the full book versus just these bullet points. But hopefully this is enough to kind of spark your interest. Okay, let's jump into 2010 to current day and the rollout of 5G networks. So just so everyone knows, 5G just stands for fifth generation. So it's actually a group or a band of various frequencies, but specifically the 60 megahertz frequency is what's unique about 5G. And I believe that that's never been used on Earth before. So for the very first time within 5G, we have this 60 megahertz frequency. So the implementation of 5G networks brought high frequency radiation to the forefront. This was definitely raising concerns about its impact on human health, although nothing seems to be getting done about it. But the rapid expansion of 5G and other high frequency technologies sparked growing debate about the potential health risks from EMF exposure. So as far as the electromagnetic hypersensitivity, the EHS, these complaints really grew exponentially with the release of 5G as more people reported symptoms related to its exposure. So increased fatigue, headaches, sleep issues. Some people were literally debilitated. And this really kind of brought to the forefront the public awareness of the potential dangers of 5G and EMF exposure. And this actually it led to a lot of protests that called for more research on the topic. Unfortunately, I just think we are really falling short, or our government is falling short in following through with any of these research projects. And it's just kind of something that if you don't see it or you don't feel it, people don't really think about it. For example, like if I turned on a 5G station and you could actually see a color radiating from it, that might actually scare people, or from your cell phone. But unfortunately, I feel like just because we can't see it, people don't think about it. I am shocked to run into people that have no idea that 5G isn't good for us. Like they'll be like, oh, I've never heard that. And I'm just shocked with the amount of information available that people don't even think in their mind, oh, I wonder if that's good for me or not. It's just like very much sheep-like behavior, just walking around, not thinking about anything, not wondering what do these frequencies do, not looking up at our skies, just not thinking, okay? we have to think that we are electrical beings and any sort of frequency is going to have some sort of reaction with our frequency. We just have to always think about it like that.
We should talk about that a minute. Do you want to explain to folks the idea of the torus field that's around a human body? Just kind of illustrate it real quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our biofield and it kind of projects out through our crown, makes a vortex field around us and comes back in and up through our sacrum. And it is an energetic field. And depending on the health of your cells and the frequency that you are emitting, you could have a healthy biofield or a weakened biofield, but this interacts with everything. I think it probably has something to do with that whole stay 6 feet apart rule that they were kind of trying to say, but we interact with each other's biofield. There's also some doctors that claim that we carry our data from our ancestors and our biofield, all kinds of really interesting information. There are practitioners that actually work on, instead of muscle testing the body, they just muscle test someone's biofield. They test how big it is, if it's sick, what kind of things are interfering with it. But the body is made to be charged by the Earth's electromagnetic field, which I might mess this up, but I think it's like 7.25 Hertz or something like that.
The Schumann resonance you're speaking?
Yeah. Is that, am I right? Or is it a megahertz? I can't remember.
Actually, the Schumann resonance is very interesting because apparently it just spiked and they shut down monitors. And this was in conjunction, if I remember correctly, maybe with the eclipse. I don't remember. There was some event, but it began to spike and they shut down the Schumann resonance. But the reason I asked you to illustrate the toroid field, the energy field around human beings, is now imagine taking a smartphone and actually transmitting and receiving with that up to your ear. Mm-hmm. If you could take an image like Carillion photography or something of that field, you'd begin to realize you do not want that cell phone anywhere near your head. As a matter of fact, you don't want it in your pockets.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. I actually have that as a point later too. But when I see young women carrying their cell phones around in their breast, in their bra, people carrying around in their pocket, there are, and I actually do a video that you guys can see on my YouTube that just shows you my blood before and after I do an oxygenation process. But basically, EMFs cause your blood to coagulate. It's a fact. There are people that are taking blood and looking at it through dark field microscopes, then putting a cell phone up to your hand, redrawing the blood from your hand and putting it under the microscope, and it's completely coagulated. So these things affect our biofield. They affect our blood, our oxygenation, so many things. And this brings in 5G technology was rolled out in November of 2019 in a little city called Wuhan, China, with 5G trials beginning in 2018 beforehand. Now, Arthur mentions in his book, and he uses the phrase magnetosphere, which I don't love, but we're just going to use that term for the sake of, you know, honoring what he wrote. But he's saying that when you release a new technology, it still emits and changes the entire magnetosphere of the Earth, right? So although it was mostly highly concentrated in Wuhan, China at the time, it still affected other places on Earth. And then obviously, as we start to build out the technology everywhere, I just think it's interesting that we had a pandemic at this time.
There's a few things. In the book, it is very well illustrated, the one-to-one relationship with the onset of radio and everything else electromagnetic to a supposed pandemic. I mean, it's undeniable the way it's laid out for you in the book. But when you consider things like the Schumann resonance, it does not take a genius to realize, like if you go to where I told you in San Diego, I think the dates, it's very early 1900s, worldwide radio network, they're claiming the first. That changes things. And so when you begin to think where we are now, we are truly living in a diminished capacity as we are trying to evolve spiritually, consciously, everything into the new era here. And there's a one-to-one relationship in my mind in the build-out and the speed of the build-out of these G networks that are trying to combat, stifle, retard the lifting of consciousness. And in my mind, the real truth is we don't need cell phones. And if we were left to our own devices and we lived in a natural world, it is my point of view that the majority of us in not too many more years would begin to be able to talk to anyone, anywhere in the world, which people can do this now. It's just very rare. At least we don't hear about it. And so what we see is the build out of the artificial network trying to stifle the natural network that's trying to emerge at the same time.
I want to go back for a second to that Schumann frequency concept, because this is the concept of grounding and earthing and why you're supposed to put your feet on the actual earth for a certain amount of time during the day. Our cellular structure, they're like little batteries and they need to be charged. So that frequency that the earth emits, that's the absolutely perfect, correct frequency to charge all of our cells. Now, moving forward throughout the years, we start wearing shoes with rubber soles. We live in houses. We don't really have our feet on the ground anymore. Then on top of that, we have all these terrible frequencies coming at us in every which direction. It really is stifling our proper cellular function in so many ways. So that's really important to understand. I know everyone on here understands the concept of grounding and earthing and all those things. And I'll cover some technologies to do that towards the end. But that's why we do that. It's because we are literally designed to be charged with that correct and, that specific frequency from the earth that only the earth can give off. Or now we've made other type of devices that can give that frequency off. But all of these other frequencies, just quite frankly, they're just the wrong frequency. They don't interact with our cells properly. They stop proper function. It's just bad. There's no other way to put it.
So it's affecting our cells. And what do we call them? Cell phones? Wonder if there's anything to that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Cellular phones. Exactly. So I think that kind of concludes historically bringing it up through 5G, the correlation between all the technology and human health issues. I wanted to take some time to kind of go over the different symptoms and blood test biomarkers of some of these things that we've been experiencing. So there is something called acute radiation poisoning, and this would be exposure to radiation that maybe you didn't get severely sick from. This could happen over time, or it could call for going to the emergency room, depending on how bad it is. But things like nausea and vomiting, fatigue, headaches, dizziness, loss of appetite, diarrhea, and fever. So we know if there is already a disease called acute radiation poisoning that's causing fever, diarrhea, you can't eat, you're dizzy, you have a headache, you have fatigue, you're nauseous and vomiting. Okay, we know that certain types of radiation make us sick. All of these symptoms, that's the flu, in my opinion. Maybe you don't have all of them, but these are flu-like symptoms, if you ask me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, the difference, it's funny to this day, if you ask someone what's the difference between a flu and a cold, I mean, you can't really tell the difference other than severity.
Right.
Most people consider if they start throwing up or have diarrhea, then that's absolutely a flu. But also I would mention, you're talking about a radiation that's artificial. And this pulls my mind back to radium and plutonium. We're told that these are similar things, right? That's the radiation coming off these natural elements, which can harm you. And I would simply ask, is there a difference between natural radiation that would be in an elemental thing made by the creation in the earth, and then the radiation created by technology? And in my mind, there is like everything else we can see, the artificial version is less than, not as good as, just to make the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also had listed out some things that happen in our blood. So if you had acute radiation poisoning and they took your blood at that time, they would find some interesting changes in biomarkers in your blood chemistry. So low white blood cell count, low platelet count, low red blood cell count. You might have elevated liver enzymes, elevated creatinine and blood urea nitrogen, so BUN. You might have electrolyte imbalances, elevated C-reactive protein levels. This is a biomarker for inflammation and oxidative stress. You might have blood clotting abnormalities or thyroid and adrenal abnormalities. Just a lot of things that are very similar to what I think could be happening during the flu. Looking at specific COVIDius minimus symptoms and blood pathology. So symptom-wise, a little bit different, but there's fever, chills, cough. So the shortness of breath is what makes this a little different from the acute radiation poisoning. But I just think if all of a sudden we have this 60 megahertz frequency, which we know, by the way, I don't think I mentioned this, that frequency is very bad for our lung tissue. So if we have that new frequency, and then this type of flu includes fever, chills, cough, there's the shortness of breath, fatigue, body aches, headaches, loss of taste or smell. That's kind of new. Sore throat, congestion, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. And then obviously shortness of breath, chest pain, confusion, bluish lips, and respiratory distress. This is all signs that you're not getting oxygen. If you get hit with enough electromagnetic radiation, your blood's going to completely coagulate. Like I was just saying, the example of taking blood before and after holding a cell phone. So if the frequency is strong enough and you are really getting hit with it, you can absolutely suffocate from just loss of oxygenation. So the biological markers that change in our body with covidius minimus are also going to be all those same CBC changes in the white and red blood cell counts that I mentioned earlier, elevated C-reactive protein, that's the inflammatory marker. You might have coagulation or blood clotting abnormalities, inflammatory cytokines, decreased oxygen saturation, and then cardiac markers might be off as well. Liver and kidney function abnormalities too. So there's just a lot of similarities between all these flu things and the radiation things and then the COVIDius things. Do you guys have anything you want to comment about that?
Yeah, it's very well illustrated. I would urge people to get a copy of The Invisible Rainbow. Once you get through it, it illustrates so well the one-to-one nature of it. And while you were talking about megahertz, and we previously mentioned the word cell, it's right in our face. We've just been taught to think in a very linear fashion. We used to call electricity in cycles. It would be called 60 cycles. And isn't that really a better way to explain what we're talking about? Anyone can know, oh, this is cycling 60 times per second or per minute or whatever the designation is. But they changed that. And the word we use now is megahertz. If you do a simple definition lookup, you'll realize, you know, mega means very large and hertz means physical damage. It's all in plain sight. So do you have anything you want to add before I wrap up hour one, Jason?
Well, everything she's describing, and then you put that with the whole pokey pokes that have been going around, and you got to wonder why so many people are dying suddenly.
I think they've come up with a new word that they were talking. I heard surplus deaths. All these things keep coming and they're in our face, but so many people are beginning to wake up now. And the cell phone to me is a key indicator. How you see people using those devices to me kind of tells you how clued in we are. These devices have changed the world in ways I can't even think of another thing in the history that I'm aware of or that I think I'm aware of that matches the change of the so-called smartphone on not only our health, but how we act and how much these devices have separated so many people from nature where truth resides. But anyhow, we're there at the top of the hour. Why don't you tell folks where they can find you and your work again, doctor, and we'll take a short break and come back for hour two.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. So again, to hire me as your practitioner, please go to dmdnaturalmedicine.com. And for remedies, homeopathy, and supplements, drdalewellness.com. Thank you.
All right, there it is. That is hour one of episode 622. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. They get access to all the comments and forums. They can create top level topics and they can stream the film Shoot the Moon anytime they like. That film covers all my older telescopic work. I captured that, as I was telling you, in Lemon Grove, California. They also get access to all my current telescope work with the ginormous solar telescope I am using, and I am waiting for an opportunity bringing these tools to the second sun, which is becoming a thing slowly but surely. Also, there is a sponsor code. If you go to the sponsor page, there's a link to Dr. Diana. It's 15% off, and the word is CRROW to get the discount. And we're going to wrap up hour one and come back for hour two shortly. I'd like to wish everybody everywhere a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
is the enemy of knowing.